Join me in 1 Peter. And as you're headed that way, a couple of things. Our own David Sides is preaching this hour over at Concord Presbyterian Church and also facilitating a meeting for them afterwards. And our prayers are with him as he goes through that. Also, I'm excited and pleased to have my brother and sister-in-law here with me this morning. It's good to see them as well. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just two verses for us here this morning. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I stop reading there because typically when we go into chapter 2 of 1 Peter, we immediately get into the cornerstone and the headstone and speaking of those things of Christ. And those are extremely important passages. But sometimes we leave verses 4 and 5 and move quickly into the secondary portion of that text. And so I want to stop here just a minute and have us concentrate on verses 4 and 5, because I think it speaks to us as a church, particularly here at New Sterling. First thing I would like to do is to direct your attention to the first portion of verse 5 and a verb phrase, because it's important that we understand this verb phrase before we move into the passage. It says, "You also, like living stones, are being built." It is a verb phrase, and in the Greek, this verb phrase can mean two things. First of all, it can describe an action that is being done to you, or an action that is at the disposal of another being done to you. You are being built into a spiritual house. Someone else is building you into a spiritual house. But the verb phrase can also represent an action done by you, by me. I am being built into a spiritual house. So here the question must be asked, of which is it speaking? And so we go to context and we go to the theology that we understand in and around this passage. And I hope to bring that to you, but this phrase can mean that you are being built by God into a spiritual house, or that your actions that you are performing, conducting, in process of, are the things by which, through your actions, are building you up into this spiritual house so that you might become that holy priest before God. Well, I think it would be right to say that we could hold this verb phrase in both of those forms. That both are actually happening in and at the same time. And how is this done? How are we built? Well, as we talked about last week, it is first and foremost and primarily through the preaching of the Word. Everything we do begins in the Word of God. Everything we do begins through the preaching of the Word of God. As this Word is broken open and fed to the people, we then take our encouragement, our direction, our leadership, our guidance from that Word and move on outward into our lives. If you would go with me back to chapter 1, and let's begin reading at verse 23. And I hope we can see both of these things occurring at the same time. Verse 23 of chapter 1, it says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, and of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." As I said, I believe we can see both here. The work of God but then also our own responsibility. First of all, the work of God. It says, for you have been born again. Now, we have talked many times about predestination and election and all of those things and the sovereignty of God in the calling forth of His children and those of which that Jesus has died for. So here we see the work of God. You have been born again through the grace and mercy of God shown to us through the death of our Lord Jesus. But also in that we have a responsibility. We must follow, we must choose, we must come along and be that which God calls us to be. But there we see God at work. But look at verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk. That's a desire you should have. That's an action on your part. Secondly, it says, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may, what? Grow in your salvation. Thank you. So that you might grow in your salvation. So here we see both. We see the work of God in our salvation. We see the work of God being displayed, being given to us through the preaching of the Word. And in that preaching, we are given direction. We are given encouragement. We are given actions to take. The beginning of chapter 2 is action on our part entirely. Rid yourself of all the hypocrisy. Rid yourself of all the malice. Rid yourself of all those things that are in opposition to God's Word. Crave pure spiritual milk, meaning crave purely the written Word of God and nothing else. And so we see both there. We see work by God, and then we also see our responsibility. In our passage this morning, what particularly is requested of you? What particularly is requested of me? What is our action? Verse 4, it says, as you come to Him. As you come to Him. Come to Him. Now, in the church today, this has become an issue. Our consumer mentality, having it our way mentality, has encroached upon the church. There are so many in the church today who understand this passage, and they believe and understand that it is our responsibility, as God empowers through His grace, to come into this place of worship and place ourselves at His disposal and have the Word of God preached to us. We come with that desire. We come with that aspect of worship. But the issue at hand is that there are so many who will come in here and say, I am here for you to serve me. I am here, come and do me. And I will evaluate what you do, and based on how you do, we'll determine how long I stay. The church is filled with those who will sit there in the pew and say, okay, I'm here. Now please me. And if you don't please me, then I'll leave. The passage says clearly, as you come. We are to come into this place of worship. We are to come into the context of the body of Christ and make sacrifice. We are to come with a giving heart, not an expectant heart, a giving heart. Sacrifice means to give. We are to come and say, Lord, I come with a pure and right heart, I pray, and I'm here to worship you. As you come. But what gives you the right to come? What enforces that ability to come? Here we see it in verse 5. It says that you are a holy priest, acceptable to God. How did that occur? How did you become a priest? How are you acceptable to God? Is it because you live in the South? There are many who think I live in the South, therefore I am a Christian. I don't think so. Is it because you're from a good family? Surely. I'm from a pretty decent family. You know, surely that's it. No? I'm a good person. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I'm a good person. Surely Jesus knows who I am, and so therefore he has elected me and called me to be one of his own. My arm is hurting, beating myself on the back. Surely that's it. How are you accepted as a holy priest? How are you accepted as being acceptable to God? There's only one way. And it is through the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, who paid for your sin. And so now when the Father looks upon you, he sees the work of Christ. He doesn't see your work, and you thank him for that. But it is through Jesus Christ that we are now acceptable. As you come to God, he is building you into a spiritual house. Now, I would like to address this concept of spiritual house in two ways. In two ways of being concerned, or two ways of addressing it. First of all, individually. You are individually being built up into the spiritual house as you do the things called on here in the passages, as the Holy Spirit, as God is working in you to bring him closer to himself. You are being built up day by day. Many times we refer to it as sanctification. But this morning, I'd like to concentrate on it a bit more in the corporate nature, in the community nature of God, in the corporate nature. How are we as a body of believers? Now, I'm not talking to just those who call New Sterling home. We have many visitors here this morning. This is not a New Sterling sermon. This is a sermon to those who call Jesus Christ Lord. And so, therefore, we are brothers and sisters, all of us. This letter from Peter is addressed to the church. It's addressed to a particular body of people as they have come together and formed the church. So its direction, its encouragement, we would first take individually, but we would also take it in the context of the church, of the body. So what is the role of the church in supporting you as you become, or as you are being built up into that spiritual house? Well, those are pretty simple. We provide encouragement. We provide direction. We provide a shoulder to cry on when it's time. We provide those things of love that I spoke of earlier. All of those things are of the church. Discipline, even. But here this morning, I'd like to get a little bit more practical. Because I believe within the confines of the church, I believe within the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to also provide opportunity. Not just the words of encouragement, not just the pat on the back, not just those things that are nice and passing. I think we as a body of believers should provide opportunity for the individuals within a given church or within the body of Christ to have a tangible means of being built up. I, as a pastor, if I sit here or stand here, excuse me, if I stand here in this pulpit and I continuously preach to you, but yet you never see me living out what I preach, then what will you think of the message? Only partially. There's a walk that has to go with the talk. This morning I want to talk about getting to the very nth degree of providing opportunity for the believers of Jesus Christ to work out their faith within the safety of the church and to see their lives, their spiritual houses, the living stones being built up tangibly. Let me ask you to refer to the green sheet that I asked you to put away. I hope you haven't thrown it away. Please forgive me if this gets a little bit too application-oriented or so very practical. But I don't like to leave things arbitrary if we can get them down to a point of where you can put your hands on it. Here on the front side of this paper, you see the guiding principles of New Sterling. You see all these things of vision, purpose, values, targets. As a member of New Sterling, I hope you have accepted and understand these are the things of which we direct ourselves. But I want to direct your attention to the latter half of that in the area of actions. Notice what it says. It says, we, the church, will provide the means necessary that our members can fulfill the four levels of Christian life. And that term comes from Dan Sutherland's book, Transitioning, but we have borrowed it here. Each believer should have the ability to answer positively about the church's provision of resources and instructions for each of these levels. Folks, this is practicality. This is putting a walk with a talk. There's four levels, and I pray that every person, especially in New Sterling, but in your own particular church, that you have opportunities before you so that you can answer those 12 questions or 12 statements. And in answering those 12 statements, you are being built up. So what is the responsibility of the church? Opportunity. I must. The elders of this church must. The deacons of this church must. The teachers, the leaders of the ministry, the committee chairpersons must always be about providing opportunity for the people of the church to accomplish these things. If we do not, then we are only giving lip service. And you can get that about anywhere. I am committed to Christ. I am committed to learning about Him and His church. I am attending a periodic small group. I'm spending daily time with God. I'm giving my financial resources. I'm serving in ministry. The list goes on. We as a church should provide the practical aspects of allowing, encouraging, directing the people of this church to come into the body of Christ. As you come, do these things, and we, the church, can help you, direct you, lead you, encourage you in being built up into that spiritual house. Very practical, I pray, feasible opportunities. I would ask every leader in this church to take a look at this list and always have before your area of ministry these questions, these statements. Am I providing the opportunity? Am I helping the people in this church being built up into the body of Christ, into the spiritual houses through the particular ministry that I have? Then I'd like to ask you to turn over. Here are some opportunities. New Sterling right now has these ministries available to you. We work on a volunteer system. It's volunteer because in part of what the passage in 1 Peter chapter 2 says, as you come. As you come. Nobody's going to force you. Nobody's going to require you. Let me put a caveat to that, except for the elders and deacons. Sorry. Other than that, no one's going to force you, require you to fulfill any of these ministries. But, the passage says, as you come to this church, as you come to Jesus Christ, as you come to the body of Christ, you will be built up into that spiritual house. And then you will be that holy priest who can stand before God on your own behalf. Now again, this is very tangible, very practical things. But I think sometimes we need to get to that level and not just talk up here in the theological gray areas. It's important that we as a church provide the practical opportunities for our folks in this church. You are being built up into spiritual houses. And as if we have given testimony here, God is doing some amazing things within the walls of this church. It's up to you to come and take advantage of what God is doing here. Amen. Amen.